LA Aiko here. We're back. Trade talk with a hedge fund insider. And I'm excited for this episode. And why I'm excited for this episode is because I believe that it is something that hasn't been expounded enough upon in recent discussions that I've been seeing on economics. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, as there has been, coverage since 2020. However, it has not been delved into deeply, and there has been a little rumblings in April of 2021. The reason I want to bring this up and preface before I make my comments, because I do not want it to sound like it's my original idea. However, I do want to emphasize that I think I'm one of the few that is actively speaking about it and pressing the issue, as I will be continuing to press the issue till it materializes. Before I go any further into that, everyone has probably been checking out the pressure being put down on Bitcoin. That is consistent. Some people feel it found its support under 30,000, around 29, and bounced back up. I don't think so. This episode actually speaks a little bit about that through just a general discussion of what is going on economically. So I'm excited to even have the conversation, because it proves that the short thesis will likely play out as it was presented. But let's go into what this episode is about, and the title of it is Tremors of a Mass Credit Contraction. Like I say, the whole year builds upon itself, and it goes in to expound about a general hypothesis that may change a little bit over time, but we try to stay consistent, and the episodes build upon each other, building a portfolio, building what our outlooks are. And my outlook has remained the same in that, originally we thought that there was going to be a lot of growth, but that growth was simply happening because there was no growth in 2020. However, what you're seeing is that that growth is obviously being spurred by government intervention and government liquidity. So it is artificial. And we consistently keep getting painted into a particular corner. Hence why that excess money printing is causing inflationary issues within the economy. And those inflationary issues are now going to spill over into what the subject matter is of this episode. Within this episode, this is my hypothesis. Again, the title of the episode, Tremors of a Mass Credit Contraction. My hypothesis is that the SPYs and the QQQs are prime for a strong correction, and the short is going to be very, very juicy. I know I've spoken about it before, where people would say you're changing course of action. I'm not changing course of action. I still think that you should be predominantly long in this market, because you would assume the Fed is going to step in. This is almost like a 2.0 discussion from my stimulus 4 and 5. The reason I have to build off of these episodes in this way is because there isn't this huge deviating narrative from what's happening. It's no different than how I can predict why I believe Bitcoin will be 18,000. Excuse me for the long pause. I just had to collect my thought. So it is an overarching just theory of how you think of something, and the indicators within the economy that give you justification. Some people would say it's not smart to guess what's going to happen. We follow the trend. And I agree, that does happen. But there's also, if you've been around enough, there's also very clear indicators as to why those trends are going to happen, that are very macro in their structure, and it's just clear as day. So let's get into this, right? So I think SPYs and QQQs, and those sectors that are within the SPYs and the QQQs are going to be exposed to heavy shorting. This is tech and consumer goods, and this is the reason. Banks are showing signs of credit contraction and preparing for the rough road ahead. Again, let me repeat what the thesis is. My thesis is that the SPYs and the QQQs are going to be prime for good short opportunities because the names within sectors that are pooled into the SPY and the QQQs, which predominantly are tech and consumer goods, are going to be heavily affected by banks preparing for rough waters ahead and contracting how much credit is out there for you to borrow. The primary place where you can see this, and again, I'm referencing its origins because I don't want to seem like these are my original ideas, but they're very clear things. April of 2020, Wells Fargo, Chase Bank, Citibank stopped allowing home equity line of credit applications. You would generally do a home equity line of credit if you want to have a credit line based off of the equity in your home. Now you would say, well, that made sense because, you know, things were uncertain. Yeah, I agree. Come into July 2021, home equity lines of credit are still suspended by Wells Fargo. They're hard to get at Chase Bank. They're hard to get at Citibank. They're not making them easily available, which lets you, in my opinion, lets you know that banks are not fully convinced of these valuations of property. And if they're not fully vested in believing in these valuations of property, what's the next thing that they might start looking at? And you've seen these announcements, anyone who's paid attention to it. Bank of America, as well as Wells Fargo, are cutting personal lines of credit. Again, this is where we're saying we should be having a robust recovery this year. These banks are well aware that the money is coming from the Fed. There's still strong unemployment, and the Fed would have to continue to give the deposits, stimulus deposits and stimulus injections to keep things running. Just like we've spoken about before, we talk about the moratorium on evictions, as well as unemployment benefits being extended. We've even had some states, from Maryland to, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of the northern states, but Maryland is the one that I know most of all predominantly, and I believe at Atlanta, they wanted to start curtailing unemployment benefits. Though the federal government was willing to allow them till September, some states were trying to curtail them and end them in July. Those have now been extended. It is well evident that it must come from government to keep this whole ride afloat. Much like I said before, you can only juggle all these balls in the air for so long till something goes wrong, and keep paying attention to the infrastructure bill. There's a lot of pushback over there, and that's messing around in gridlock. You're going to run into a particular situation here where someone drops the ball. Things are coming to a head. We're already on the back half of the year, and you're coming into particular scenarios where, as said before, moratoriums on eviction, you have on unemployment benefits, federal unemployment benefits. States already don't want to pay any more unemployment, saying that employers are looking for workers and people need to go to work. As well as home builders are not building as much. Building permits have dropped significantly in the past 3 months. And home prices are sky high, as well as commodity prices are sky high. And please don't get me into gasoline prices. Gasoline prices are supposed to be high. This isn't subject for that. We've covered that already. There's nothing else to cover. These things that I've listed are just proof and clear that you're going to see a strong correction. And that correction is also going to correlate right into crypto, because it's that excess liquidity that's going into crypto to buy altcoins, to buy any sort of coin that anyone is pumping and pushing to get rich quick. All of that excess money pumps over there. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Or, as said before, you're going to see where the government decides that we're going to extend all these programs again. And it's not about, and in this episode, it's not about will it happen? Because some people were saying, even in this week, oh, if this happens, or no, not if this happens, oh, we had a red day or a 700 point down Dow day, but we snapped back. Oh, no. The tremors are starting to vibrate. We weren't having 700 point down days in the past, more than 4 or 5 months. No, were we? Yeah, we were. Probably past 2, 3 months. The point of it is the tremors are starting to vibrate. These tremors are starting to happen because banks are showing uncertainty. Some people are too young to understand it, but in 2008, very specifically, one thing that happened, and I know this from personal experience, I had a Barclays card, credit card. 1 minute, the not 1 minute, but the rate was not the rate, the credit line was $5,000. And I remember I just started in a hedge fund business, and it was 2008. By the time it was the tail end of 2008, I remember I just got a letter one day that my credit line had been cut. Not that I did anything. It just simply just cut the credit line. They cut the credit line because banks were trying to be more protective and cautious with uncertainty ahead. You should be very mindful of lending institutions doing this. Mortgages are coming from Fed money, but if the Fed does not continue the programs, you're going to run into this issue of where the lending institutions will continue to tighten up on products. They haven't tightened up on mortgage products, but you want to know what's kind of crazy about not being tightened up on mortgage products? Most people are not aware that you're seeing refis right now at higher rates than when than immediately when the pandemic started and rates got cut dramatically. You want to know why? Because people need money. You can't get the home equity line, but you can get the cash out refi. That's why from many episodes ago, I said it was very important to know what people do with the cash out refis. Generally, before and when times were robust and you were getting cash out refis, which were property valuations high, people would remodel their home, build extensions, buy cars and things of that nature, or pay off debt. In this time, people are refining their homes to take out cash to survive. You can tell that is the case by when they did it and what products are being suspended or available. Now, this might be a little highbrow for some people. I don't think it's highbrow for everyone. I don't think it's overly complex hypothesis. But I do think that with saying it in a very simple nutshell, I'm going to start building the short position even more. At first, I had it at a 70-30, and I think I'm going to start pushing up another 10%, get it to 60-40. Potentially, the portfolio might be 50-50, but I'm very confident in waiting. Not yet, though, but I am confident in building the position to wait for a strong correction on the downside if I don't see a massive strong push for another stimulus. And they're going to have to get this stimulus done by October before the year's federal budget closes out. There's only talks about it, but there's no speed to get it done. And this is that gridlock foolishness that I consistently speak about with federal government in our country in comparison to Canada and other nations, Great Britain, for example. They made sure to give people the money every month without fail. So that's one perspective. The other perspective is that the S&P's chart pattern is pretty much mimicking the 99.com bubble. I'm not surprised there. I've definitely expounded on that many times. And you're probably going to see a nice push by the federal government to suppress rates one more time really strong. This is the 30-year treasury, suppress it really strong, because one, the auctions have been decent. They haven't been that great, which is meaning that, you know, most institutions, most sovereign governments are not choosing to buy a lot of long bond paper. But you can get the federal government to offer an exorbitant amount for these bonds, get these rates suppressed one more time. If they have any intelligence in their head, in my opinion, they can pull that off, get the 30-year down to, sorry, not get the 30-year, but get the mortgage rates down to a flat 1%, causing, not even causing, but forcing people to have to refi again, because most people have refied into a three, mid 3s%. So you can get them to refi forcefully into a 1%. Why you care about the refining into lower rates is because you're spurring more money into the economy, more so. I don't want to call it organically, it's still artificial, but you're forcing the hand of the people who own the debts to have to do it, as opposed to what is very artificial is saying, here's just $1,400 in your bank account. You need the action to be done, thereby creating new money, by creating a new loan, even though the loan is cheaper. Now you would say, how does that solve this whole problem? It only solves this whole problem by taking more burden off of the government directly, by allowing those new loans to be issued, and people can take the liquidity out from those new loans while home prices are high. But the deceptive part about this whole thing of where, you know, it's all BS really, right? Is because that's not what your home is worth, and that's what the bank knows. That's why they're restricting your ability to do home equity lines, as opposed to refinancing your mortgage completely and then taking out money after you refi it. Everyone has their opinion on which product is better. I particularly don't care. I care more about what's the indicator and what's very reflective of a past recessionary incident. And with that being said, it really falls under the fact that they're constricting lending products. They haven't gotten to the point of constricting mortgages because the government is hip enough, but again, it all boils down to, is the administration able to juggle what is happening? So far, it seems like they're able to juggle it. But as I've consistently said over and over and over again, I will happily buy shorts at these highs with the clear initiative, with the clear foresight, not initiative, excuse me, that as the administration is exiting is when you will see a massive contraction. Now, perhaps it's foolish to even say you would set some of these positions so early, as we're only, you know, you're 6 months away from the first year of Biden's term. The reason why I'd be willing to set them a bit early is because I think that they blunder on stimulus payment four. I think they are going to have to, and they being the administration, are going to have to see something really jolt the economy for a second to then do stimulus four. It is they seem more in the position of, let's fight this battle. Let's force people to get jobs. Let's force the economy to spur. Let's get things going. Let's unify as Americans and fight and push and push through this pandemic. But it has to slap them in the face in some place where you start to realize they're more savers than spenders. Businesses are really tight for cash, and they are not willing to pay the high amounts that the overall economy is thinking, or the overall administration is thinking. So hopefully this was a episode that you could understand. I tried to go a bit more slower to kind of define it and clarify some of these aspects, but mainly in a nutshell, I'm going to continue. I'm going to push the 70-30 portfolio split of long and short, so long 70 and short 30, because of course I really did feel the federal government will step in and fix any situation going on, and I still feel they'll fix it. However, I don't feel they'll fix it in a timely fashion, and That timely fashion would be stimulus for payments by October of 2021. I don't think that happens. I think they have to get a strong jolt that kicks them in the butt to do it, and I don't think you'll get that jolt until you get closer into Christmas, or you'll see that they'll do nothing going into the Christmas season, and you will see a weak Christmas spending. I say that to say because you didn't see it in 2020 with the Trump administration. That's, you know, that's an election year. Why would you miss that? Why would you mess that up? That would be perfect. So this administration, they're so deep into it at this point, I don't think they even care to compare themselves to the Trump administration and say, hey, we're making sure we have money in your pocket. Are they putting money in people's pocket? Of course they are. We just had the child stimulus credits, but those were already built into the overarching $2 trillion bill. I think that you're just going to get them to mildly fumble the balls being juggled, and then they'll have to kick in another stimulus payment structure. I could end up eating my words in September when the unemployment is set to end, but you've seen how this administration acts. Let's say the unemployment is slated to end in October, much like the moratorium on evictions. Where do you get another month? That's it. They're so sloppy and there's so much political gridlock that they'll wait to extend something 1 month as opposed to saying, hey, this is our way out of this. This is what makes most sense. If our Fed is still trying to put all this stuff together, we need 2 years. We need 2 years of stimulus. We need 1 year of eviction moratorium. This is directly how landlords are going to make sure they're paid to maintain this whole thing while we restructure what the overarching economy has turned into. It's just not going to happen in this society. So thank you guys for tuning in to Trade Talk. Building short positions in QQQs and S&P 500. Going through those names for tech and consumer and putting out short positions in those tech and consumer. Willing to hold those short positions for over a year. Willing to build them slowly. I'm very comfortable with it. Those are my opinions. Thank you. LAECO out.